Hello. Welcome to the latest episode of All Out for No Loss. This is Vasant Kumar, and with me I have Ramakrishnan G. Iyer. Once again, our two other regulars couldn't make it for this taping. Today, we are going to spend some time dissecting the loss in the pink ball test at the Adelaide Oval, and then looking ahead to what awaits us at the Gabba. Ram, what are your thoughts on the pink ball test?
Yes, interesting test match this. Firstly, you know, when we discussed this last week, I regretted the fact that we didn't discuss this aspect of the game enough, which is what I'm going to come to here. The fact that the Australians are near unbeatable as far as their pink ball at home record is concerned, coupled with the fact that the Indians do not play pink ball tests like literally at all. So in hindsight, we should have acknowledged and realized that the gulf between Australia and India, as far as the pink ball was concerned, was going to be really, really big. So I think that is basically for me acknowledgement number one. And then, of course, what was to follow, having acknowledged this context, was not surprising, right? I think the batters struggled. The bowlers took some time to really figure out what it really meant to bowl with the pink ball. And the fact that some of these bowlers, like Harshit Rana, who we might argue impressed at Perth, really ended up struggling at the Adelaide Oval. I mean, there was one stage of the game, I recall, he got hit for 17 runs by Travis Head. And I was basically telling myself, man, he just broke the kid's confidence. I mean, I don't even know whether Rana will have the mental mindset to come back at Gabba, even if they play him. It was that much of an annihilation as far as I saw. Very, very one-sided game. Interestingly, I should mention this. I caught the pink ball analysis from Harsha Bogle, and he compared it to a tennis match and tried to summarize it saying, India comprehensively won at Perth and it was like a 6-2 victory, but ended up losing 1-6 at Adelaide. I mean, if I have to take that same exact analogy, I would have called it a 0-6 loss. I don't even know where was that one game that we won. I couldn't see it. But those were my top as far as the ping pong annihilation is concerned.
There is one more thing that we have to factor. We have played ping pong tests in India, but we play with the SG ball, which is different from the Kookaburra.
Right, very true.
So it is not just lack of experience playing pink ball tests. It is simply that we don't use the Kookaburra. And in reality, that Prime Minister's 11 game was nothing more than a practice session with the pink ball. And that was partly rained off.
Completely, yeah, pretty much rained out. It became a 46 over one-day affair, effectively.
Correct, correct. And one more thing that was very interesting, which was brought up by David Warner. Somebody asked him, how tough is it to play the pink ball? And he was actually talking about the color of the seam. And the color of the ball. And
I heard
how,
it right.
Because of when it wobbles, it's difficult to see. Now, here is a practitioner who knows how this works. And that is a very, very...
Who hit a big double, right, in his last pink ball test?
He did. That was a very interesting insight. And if you cannot see the ball properly, it is going to be a challenge. And of course, we had this fundamental issue with this Indian batting in the first innings. As we discovered recently, is that in the last 7 tests, we've crossed 300 once. And that 376 happened because Ashwin hit a century and Jadeja hit, I think, a 90 or something like that, right? Because otherwise, the top order batters have not scored. There are 0 centuries from a top 6 batter in the first innings in this whole 7 test sequence. And that is saying something. And if you are behind the 8 ball in the first innings, it is going to be a challenge. We beat Bangladesh because we put up some runs in the first innings in the first test. In the second test, in that 2-day game, the whole mechanics of the game was a little different. But then against New Zealand and against Australia, 5 tests in a row, behind after every first innings. And it was all about fighting back. We lost 4, we won 1. That's thanks to our bowlers putting together a magnificent show in Perth on the first day. So bottom line to me is that between the lack of exposure to the pink ball and the simple fact that we are not scoring runs in the first innings, it's been very, very tough.
Exactly.
Now, what was the difference between Perth in Adelaide. In Perth, we were rolled for 150. But we came back, and before the track lost its fizz, we managed to take 7 down. And after that, it was just level pegging.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but that was not to be, because Manus Labuschagne and Max Sweeney batted very well on day one in that last session at night to keep us at bay. That 87 for one that they finished with actually set the match up.
Very true.
And I think that's where we really missed having an incisive third seamer. A Shami at that time would have just offered something more. Rana was just not able to bowl well enough. So in many ways, I would think that we lost the game batting first poorly, but we made sure that we couldn't come back by a somewhat slovenly display in the last session of day one. The other thing that people have also pointed out is the slightly different captaincy model that was followed by Rohit compared to Bumrah. It seemed a little bit more defensive. I, for one, thought the start of day two was peculiar. I would have expected them to start with Bumrah and Ashwin.
Ashwin, exactly.
Yep. And especially because the first over that Ashwin bowled, the only over that he bowled on the first day, the ball pitched, turned, bounced, did all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Every single player, every single analyst heard that the ball was pitching and turning and bouncing. So the attitude of the batters would have been different. They would have been tentative. And if you're tentative against Ashwin, he'll have you for lunch. That's the end. The other thing is, I thought Bumrah was taken off a little too early after Head entered.
Yes.
We don't know how to bowl to Head. The only person who seems to know to bowl to Head is Bumrah. And then he was taken off. To make matters worse, when he was on 67, Siraj dropped what effectively was a sitter. He should have held that. Those 70 runs that
mattered.
Head made, along with the other runs that came on the other side, did matter.
Yeah,
it might have brought the lead down from 150 to about 35.
15, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that would have just changed the whole game altogether. Because I don't think anybody else was putting bat to ball anyway. It was only Head.
Only.
So there were a bunch of things that happened, I think, that just all fell in Australia's way, helping them. I think, but the biggest thing to me that stood out is Mitchell Starc was fabulous on day one, but he was getting some assistance with the pink ball and the movement
swings
and all that stuff. The bigger observation for me was what Pat Cummins did in the second innings. Now, that is a factor that's going to stay there for the rest of the series. Because
he did an Ishan Sharma at Lord's. I mean, he simply took 6 wickets by bouncing the team out.
Yep.
Effectively.
Yep.
Same as Ishan, right? Did he do like a 7 for?
He did a 7 for, correct. At the end of the day, I thought the match was a fair result. I think we perhaps didn't pay close enough attention to the pink ball mechanics. Had we really paid very close attention to the way Australia plays, we would have realized that pink ball test would have been a challenge. Harshit Rana is just one test old and he was caught napping. And let's face it, he was profligate even in the first test. It's just that nobody noticed because we were just like steamrolling them.
Yeah, he was profligate in the second innings. He was still okay in the first. But the
even
fact that he was bowling these release balls every now and then, he had one boundary, an over trend was very clearly there.
Yep. And in fact, even in the first innings, I think of the 105 runs they scored, he conceded 50. So he did go for runs. But that said, we were caught on the back foot. We didn't know what to do. Nitish Reddy is at best someone who can plug. He's not Shardul Thakur with the ball. Shardul Thakur can make things happen. Nitish Reddy can't make things happen with the ball. He's definitely a better batter. There's no doubt about that. And he probably will grow into a reasonably good middle order batter and probably go up the order further.
Yeah, he should bat in the top 6, yeah, actually.
But
that's the way to go for
him. He doesn't offer what
the number 7 we need. Yeah.
No, he doesn't offer what Shardul Thakur offered with as a bowling all rounder, right? I still say that he's been the sort of the find of the tour so far. Of course, there was this big debate about the Ashwin selection. I thought it was a 50-50 selection. Multiple reasons. The return of Rohit and Gill meant that batting was stronger as opposed to Padikkal and Jureel.
He's
on paper. And then Nitish Reddy was an unknown when we went into Perth. He acquitted himself very well. So they felt that he's actually a good enough batter to bat at seven comfortably, which essentially meant that they did not need the stronger batter, Washi, ahead of the better bowler, Ashwin. And then Ashwin was the one who was going to get you wickets.
Yeah, so, and he has a pink ball record.
He has a very good pink ball record. Yeah. And even in Adelaide the last time around, he bowled very well.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Must have made yeah. in the selection process.
I mean, I would think so. I mean, these guys know what they're doing, right?
Yeah. And yeah. That was totally, as you say, I agree with you, 50-50. Yeah.
The one thing that as an analyst, I would have thought they would have thought differently is brought in Akashdeep over Rana at Adelaide. The reason being, Adelaide is slightly softer wicket. It's not the bounce and get you wicket as like Perth. Hitting the deck may not be the biggest requirement there. Yeah, and an Akashdeep, who is far more accurate, who can move the ball both ways, would have been more than a handful in a pink ball situation. So even though Rana played very well in Perth, or bowled well at least in the first innings, I really wish that the coaches went a little harder for the horses for courses model and then played Akashdeep in Adelaide and taken advantage of him, of his ability to move the ball both ways and the fact that the pink ball moves longer.
Yes, exactly. And interestingly, a friend of mine who lives in Adelaide went for the game, was watching apparently the Nets activity very closely. 5,000 people turned up at Nets apparently. He made this independent observation to me that Akashdeep looked really good at the Nets.
Interesting.
And that, you know, he would have thought playing him ahead of Harshit Rana, given that the smoothness that was flowing at Nets, was a bit of a no-brainer.
Interesting. To me, just on paper, looking at the wicket, logic says he needs to play. In fact, even at the Gabba is not one of those hit the wicket, make it bounce kind of wicket either. Fine.
So I think he was an excellent pick for Perth, but we need to rethink if he needs to be playing the rest of the test.
To me, it's the ability of the team management to balance this. A newcomer comes in, does reasonably well in the first test, in his first test, but you need to be able to go and tell the guy, just like they did so many times to Washi. And New Zealand does it to Ajaz Patel also, repeatedly.
Exactly.
Fine. You just go to the player and say, look, he's better for these conditions. But all said, Australia deserved victors. No doubt Absolutely. About it. This game could have gone either way, but for a few little phases. And I mean, I know everybody's just jumped on the batters, but this is it. We don't play that much of pink ball stuff, and this is going to happen. I thought Nitish Reddy was fabulous. Okay, even in the second innings, I think he just missed seeing the fielder because he thought that the shot was on, and then he realized, oh my God, there's a fielder there. So I don't think Nitish Reddy made a mistake or a blunder when he got out. Clearly, Harshit Rana has discovered the batting in tests is different from batting in the Ranjis. So, there you go.
Fine. Yeah. I mean, anyone who decided to give Harshit Rana a chance because he can bat is, well, I think that's totally awful.
I mean, well, there was some chatter to that effect. But unfortunately, there's also this angle of familiarity, right? I mean, Gautam Gambhir is very familiar with Harshit Rana because of the KKR stint.
KKR, but Delhi prior to that.
Yeah, Delhi, KKR. And also, given all of that, it's not that Harshit Rana is a bad pick.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling if Shastri was there, Rana would have played the first test and Akashdeep would have played the second test. Yeah. So it would have been more ruthless, if you will. Ashwin, there are two schools of thought saying Ashwin, A, shouldn't have played, should have played. He's played his last test. He's not played his last test. His bowling was okay. It was okay. It was not great. It was okay. And I'm pretty sure if he had taken down head, then after that, the Australians may not have finished with such a big lead and we could have just like fought back. And I think...
But he fought back in the second innings. Yes.
Correct. Exactly. I think what damaged Ashwin's credentials more than anything else was not his bowling. But second innings, the way he got out, that repeated attempts to play this, pull. And it was telegraphed that it was going to happen. He was going to get out. And once Cummins changed the line. So that probably hurt him more than anything else because it just showed lack of game awareness from somebody who's been around for so long. Anyway, in my mind, I think a well-deserved win for Australia. They played better. sets up the series beautifully at 1-1. Before we go to the GABA, let's spend a couple of minutes on the WTC. Now that England has absolutely destroyed New Zealand and South Africa stamped their authority over Sri Lanka and have got a foot in the final, very ironic given the way they started the WTC, sending a third or fourth string team to New Zealand. The Lankans didn't do themselves any favors by two somewhat poor displays. So at the end of the day, South Africa versus Pakistan might decide things a little bit, but I really can't see this Pakistan team.
I don't see this Pakistan team doing even as well as the Lankans did.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lankans actually, you know, in the first test, because of that 42 all out or whatever, they kind of rolled over. But the second test was more or less competitive. I mean, it went to the fifth day and it was competitive. I mean, I expected it to be like yet another 42 all out type activity, but at least the second test was competitive. And I truly, truly hope they take this form to the Australians at home, which is the thing we want from a WTC perspective.
So there is one pattern I have seen with South Africa in South Africa, which is that their lower order, number 7, 8, 9, 10, don't get out. They drag that innings along. They sometimes double the score. They do it only in South Africa. They don't do it everywhere else. Interestingly, Sri Lanka has put both their tests against Australia in Gaul.
They have stacked the deck.
They have stacked the deck. Prabhat Jayasurya is the king of Gaul. We all know that. Yeah. I will not be surprised if the Australians, at least in one game, they completely have a brain fade and keel over. It's going to be very interesting. Then I still believe that South Africa and Australia are probably the favorites to make it. And the reason for that is that 0-3 against New Zealand for India.
It will come down to this 0-3 loss. Even a 2-1 loss would have helped matters.
There was no excuse for that. I mean, the first test, maybe there's an excuse because of the pitch on day one and all that stuff. The next two tests, there was absolutely no excuse for losing them. This is bread and butter stuff that they just completely keeled over. Anyway, let's go over to the GABA. The first pitches from the GABA seem to indicate that there is very little difference between the outfield and the pitch. So,
why are we surprised?
They've been waiting for years. Come to the GABA has been a central theme. They want to take revenge for that haste that happened back in 2021. So what do you think about the likely changes for the Indian team, if any?
I suspect Ashwin will be penalized for that second innings dismissal, and he might make way back to Washington or even Jadeja. I don't know. It could be one or the other, but I suspect one of those changes will load. Despite the absolutely poor performance of the batting side, none of them are in a situation where they can be dropped. Right, because Jaiswal is making runs, so he can't be dropped. Rohit Sharma is the captain, so he can't be dropped. KL Rahul has played his customary one good innings per series already. Because he played that innings, he will play this test and he will open the innings, right? Kohli made 100 in Perth, so he cannot be left out. And then Pant, of course, we can't leave him out. I think we've covered the six batters. Why I feel like none of them will actually be replaced. Moving on to the bowling, I think if you look at Harshit Rana, he suffered at the hands of Travis Head. So unless, if he's not mentally up to it, he may get replaced by one of Prasidh or Akash. That's one possibility. The second one is really more around Nitish Reddy. Nitish Reddy, I mean, he's been the find of the tour so far, but in terms of balance for the squad, he doesn't really offer anything with a ball per se. I mean, he can just fill in with a few overs. You can't expect him to take any wickets. So maybe swap him out, bring in Jadeja so that you have a really, really strong number seven. And then you go four outright bowlers, all fast bowlers, thus leaving Nitish out and replacing him with more like a Prasidh or whoever they chose to pick in that place. That is a possibility I'm thinking may happen, more so because, you know, you just mentioned how green the GABA pitch is.
Why I think that has a lower chance is because the batting has been awful. In fact, the only one who stood up to be counted has been Nitish. First innings in Perth, first innings in Adelaide, second innings in Adelaide. Was it what? Top scorer all three times?
Hey, three out of four, he's top scorer. Yeah, exactly.
So the fact is, the guy has been batting well. it'll be great if you can bat in the top six, but it'll mean dropping one of the other guys who are more or less fixtures in the team.
Which ones would you drop? Your two choices are KL Rahul and Rohit Sharma. They are the choices.
You can't touch Rohit Sharma, and then KL Rahul has got dibs on a place because of the way he played at Perth. And Gill looked very, very good when he was batting at both
I'm not ready to drop him yet. Needs to translate to runs, big runs, but I'm not ready to.
He looked good. So, given the batting's so thin, I mean, they will not play this game of getting Tish out. Now, to me, the only question is whether they're going to replace Ashwin with a quick, looking at the wicket, and just like forego the idea of a spinner. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not like spinners don't come into play in Australia. With the bounce, they can do something. So, overall, I have a feeling that they will come back to a team where Ashwin will be replaced by Washi.
Not Jadeja.
One of them. More likely Washi, because he just gives you a little bit more batting, or at least recognized batting, compared to Jadeja. That's not really true. Jadeja also bats. But Ashwin from one of the other two guys. And then it's really going to be down to a question of whether they feel Harshit Rana has taken enough scars to not be effective in this game. And they bring in Akash Deep or Prasad Krishna to go with the other two. Okay. That could be the only real changes that they can look at. It's a pity that Shami is not there. But Shami not being there is not a surprise. I mean, this is something that I think we discussed months and months ago, because he has been out since the World Cup. The NCA was more busy sending out emails about some player not turning up for Ranji and all that stuff, rather than focusing on getting Shami fit. Instead, his surgery was delayed by about 4-5 months. And you do an Achilles surgery, you're not going to come back that very quickly.
He can't play any cricket anymore because yesterday morning, Bengal got ousted from the SMAT. Not making any competitive cricket anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And he's bowled badly. He went for 43 runs in 4 overs in that game.
Yeah, he did. That last over was pretty good, by the way. He picked 2 wickets, bowled 3 Yorkers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean,
he'd already given away 40 runs in the first 3 overs.
That's true. But again, I mean, this is T20, this is SMAT, who cares? Okay, at the end of the day, Shami, if he's fit, will walk in just on pure merit, because he's better than what you have as a third seamer here. I don't know how he's going to make it to Melbourne. It's a little tough, but let's see how the team management handles this. But overall, it looks like Ashwin will be penalized for his batting.
Batting.
Otherwise, it's all about whether they feel Harshit should be given another chance or not. Australia looks like Bo and Hazelwood will swap places and nothing else will happen. Okay.
Very much. Nathan McSweeney has put to rest any questions about his capabilities.
Yep.
That first innings,
the 30
we had with Labuschagne made all the difference. He is excellent in the close and catching area.
Yep.
So he is kind of showing that he belongs here. So that is as far as McSweeney is concerned. Manas Labuschagne came back into the runs.
But Australia doesn't drop people. They just keep on playing. I mean, for them, JP Singh is a big deal, because their formula is, if you're dropped once, coming back is very, very tough, unless you're injured. If you're injured, you can come back. But if you're not injured, it's almost impossible to come back if you're dropped for form. So
Correct.
I think Australia is all set. So what would we do in case we win the toss? Bowl first or bat first?
I'm going to go with this would be a good toss to lose thing. But bat first. I mean, their record batting first is shit. But I mean, I do not know that batting last fourth innings would be the way to set up a win. So bat first and do better than 150 all out. You know, try to get Australia to bowl with a second new ball. You know, small goals.
That would be very good. But I would actually think that they should consider bowling first, simply because if the wicket is still fresh and has got some mm of grass left, use it and then hope that it dries up. Okay.
Yeah, last test at the Gabba involved the West Indies and Australia, where, like we were discussing, West Indies batting first managed to score 300.
Correct.
That set up the game beautifully.
Yeah, even in that the 2021 Gabba game that we played, they scored 340, 350, we scored 300. The difference was 39. Second innings, they had some 200 and something. And then And then came the, it's a big 329 that we chased down. Yes. But that was a classic test match. It was a five-day test match that went right to the end. And it had everything that you wanted in a test match. That remains a once-in-a-lifetime thing for many guys.
I mean, so you're saying if you win the toss, bowl and see if that changes your life.
Win the toss, bowl, and you don't also bat the third innings. So maybe you can put enough pressure on these guys. And because, again, if you're going to bat first, the pressure is pretty hard. And it's not like Perth, where batting fourth is a challenge. All these cracks and everything that develop, right? But either way, I think the series is very nicely poised. I still believe that we have it in us to win one more test, at least. And this series probably will finish 3-2 in one direction or the other. But that's not enough to make it to the WTC final.
So for people in the West Coast, the game starts, I think, at 4:30 in the afternoon on a Friday afternoon.
On a Friday afternoon, which is a reasonable time. And I think the remaining tests are all going to be the 3:30 start or 4 o'clock start kind of things. There's the most scope to watch the game compared to the first two games. All in all, looking forward to test number 3. The first two tests were both one-sided. I don't think the teams are really very different. They're just about the same in terms of the way they are playing. Yeah. Today, on paper, both teams will be thrashed by the South Africans, the way the South Africans are playing.
Frankly.
I don't think either of these batting lineups will be able to play Kagiso Rabada.
And Jansen is getting better and better by the day.
Yeah, and then he's got some support cast, and then Coetzee will come back, and the Vian Mulder is there. They've got a bunch of guys. And guess who's batting very well? Temba.
The captain, yes.
Beautiful batting. And I know
I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, he's the object of a lot of ridicule often.
He has been so well. I mean, he's led from the front.
And those who watched him, his fielding is probably the best in the world. Inside that ring, you don't want to run.
Modern day Jaunty Rhodes.
Yeah, absolutely incredible fielders. South Africa has not won anything. Could this be the year? If we don't make it to the final, I have no doubts whom I'm going to support. It would have been tough if both South Africa and New Zealand had made it. But it's
South Africa versus Australia, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, South Africa versus Australia is a no-brainer. Mark Taylor can say whatever he wants about Kagiso Rabada. Let's finish off the day with a simple prediction. Win, loss, draw. Okay. Nobody does draws. Win or loss.
Yeah, we don't do draws anymore, particularly at the GABA. But I think, I mean, even if the Australians win, I just want it to be a hard-fought win. I just don't want them to roll over and die.
Yeah. No, as they say, what dil kehta hai, India jeete. Dimag kehta hai, Australia jeetega.
Exactly. That is what is going to happen here. All right.
With that, thanks everyone. Let's call it a day. Thanks, Ram.